This week on Talkin' Central Arizona Sports, the show returns with a look back at the high school boys basketball seasons for Prescott and Bradshaw. Hello everyone, my name is Torrence Dunham and welcome to a weekly podcast catching you up on the latest with Central Arizona sports teams. Part of Talking Glass Media's Cast 11 Podcast Network, the show features game previews and recaps along with interviews with coaches and players and much more. The show this week focuses on the boys' basketball seasons of Bradshaw Mountain and Prescott High School, starting off with Grand Canyon Region Champion Bradshaw. The Bears went 12-6 overall last season and finished 4th in the region, being bounced in the play-in game. The team entered this season with high expectations and a new coach as Kane Atkinson took over the reins. Bradshaw Mountain went on to produce one of the best seasons in school history, going 17-1 overall and 11-1 in the region. It marked the second region championship in 3 years for the program. Some signature regular season victories for the club were a 62-57 victory over Seton Catholic on the road to begin the season, back-to-back close wins over Williams Field and Agua Fria in early December, big wins over Mojave and Mingus Union, a close win over Coconino near the end of the season, and of course, the team's win over rival Prescott at home in early January. After falling in the opening round of the brand new Open State Playoffs to St. Mary's, Bradshaw Mountain beat Coconino and Cactus to reach the Final Four of the Conference Playoffs. But that's where their journey would end, as they lost 67-53 to the state champion Peoria Panthers. It was the first Final Four appearance in nearly 3 decades for the program. Joining the show now to continue looking back at the Bradshaw Mountain High School boys basketball season is head coach Kane Atkinson. Coach, how are you?
I'm good, Torrence. How are you, bro?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for joining the show. So a couple weeks have gone by since the end of the season. Looking back, what will you remember most about this team?
That's a hard question to answer. Probably just a group of kids, you know, just a really good group of kids that, you know, worked hard from day one. And, you know, like I've always said, I can't say anything more good things about those kids.
So what kind of growth did you see in the team from beginning of the season and even going back to practice all the way up until the playoffs?
Probably just the toughness. You know, that was one thing that I felt like this program really, really needed, was just to become, you know, more tough. And they did a really good job of buying in and, you know, just the toughness that they continue to have and, you know, got better at throughout the season was, you know, very special.
You know, that loss in the semifinals there for you guys, what did you tell the players following that loss?
Peoria is a tough team. You know, they did a really good job of, you know, doing what we expected them to do. And, you know, we didn't play our best basketball, but, you know, it was a very special experience. And, you know, it was a, you know, great game. So Peoria was very tough.
First season as head coach of the Bears, how was it for you?
A lot of fun. You know, I very, very proud to be a part of the Bradshaw Bear, you know, community and program. And, you know, it was a lot of fun.
What were some of your favorite moments during the season as a whole? And this can be on the court, off the court, anything at all.
Just everything. You know, the group of kids that we have, I was very, you know, very proud to, you know, coach them and, you know, get every day to spend with them. And, you know, the kids makes it worthwhile. So the kids for sure.
With the players that are expected to return in the experience game this season going all the way to the Final Four, what are you looking forward to next year?
Hopefully the same thing. You know, I think that this year really, you know, show the kids that this is the expectation and, you know, we want to win games and, you know, so hopefully they're motivated by the experience of playing in the Final Four and hopefully we'll, you know, make another run next year.
Coach, thanks for joining the show all season long and look forward to talking to you as the season comes coming up next winter.
Yep, thanks, Torrence. I appreciate everything for this whole season.
Thank you. Some key contributors of the team were junior Mason Hunt, who led the team with an average of 13.3 points per game, and seniors Amari Lawrence and Ben Wilder, who averaged 11.6 points per game and 7.7 points per game, respectively. Senior Dante Landis led the team with 9.2 rebounds per game. Senior Caden Reed also had 6.3 points per game and averaged 5.9 rebounds per game. Coming up, a recap of Prescott High School's stellar season. But first, spring is here. It officially began on Monday. Give Yavapai Plumbing and Heating a call to make sure everything is good and you are ready. As the temperatures slowly begin to creep up heading into the summer months, it'll be here before you know it. All the info you need is at ypeinc.com. That's ypeinc.com. Welcome back to Talking Central Arizona Sports. Thanks for giving this podcast a listen. The Prescott High School boys basketball team entered the 2022-2023 season after finishing 11-7 overall last year and second in the region, being bounced in the first round of the playoffs to Mesquite. It was a battle all season long between Prescott and rival Bradshaw for the top spot in the region, as Prescott finished just behind Bradshaw with an overall record of 16-2 and 11-1 in the region. After losing to Bradshaw in early January, the Badgers got blazing hot and rolled off 10 wins in a row. Some of these wins included a close victory against Coconino on the road in overtime, revenge against rival Bradshaw at home, and blowouts of Mingus, Union, and Coronado to end the regular season. After a loss to Open State Championship runner-up Sunnyslope in the new format, the Badgers beat South Point Catholic in the first round of the conference playoffs. Their season ended in the second round in a home loss, once again, to Mesquite. Joining the show now to continue looking back at the Prescott High School boys basketball season is head coach Travis Stedman. Coach, how are you?
I'm awesome, Torrance. How are you?
I'm doing great. So a couple of weeks have gone by since the end of the season. Looking back, what will you remember about this team?
You always remember the seniors. I mean, it's... They put their time and effort in for 4 years, most of them. And, those are the guys that first come to mind when you think about the end of the season because, the road ends for those guys. No more high school basketball for them. And so that's usually the first thing that comes to mind. And, after that, it's the ride with, just the ride itself. The ride was fun. It was we had a really, really solid squad, great group of kids to coach. And, I was really, really blessed to have what we had going on.
So what kind of growth did you see in the team from the beginning of the season all the way up until the playoffs?
I just saw a lot of maturity. We saw a lot of growth real early. Most of those kids came over from football and they had to get their sea legs back. And, so from a basketball standpoint, I mean, they grew real quick. But after that, I mean, this was one of those interesting years where we had an incredible amount of team chemistry, and watching those guys interact with each other and play off of each other and the time they spent off the court. I mean, it was, it was great. I mean, they really came together as a group, as the season went along. And a lot of it came down to the fact that they just were really good friends off the court.
What did you tell the players following, that loss in the quarterfinals, and, have you spoke to them a little bit since then? Just what was kind of said about the whole general journey that you guys went on?
It's funny. We don't post game, the locker room, we don't exchange a lot of words. It's, we come together in a huddle and, we say our piece real quick. I mean, it's about 30 seconds and then we break it down, then we move on to the next thing. And, even though the next thing for some of those guys is not another high school basketball game, it was kind of a finality type thing. We usually don't tie everything together in a bow until our team barbecue or our program barbecue at the end of the year, which usually happens after spring break. And, once that happens, we hand out the awards and we kind of break down the season and that kind of thing. But for the most part, nothing as a group was ever discussed. It was just, a lot of really appreciated you guys, and you guys were fun to coach, and that kind of thing. So we don't spend a lot of time breaking down games in the moment. So
what were some of your favorite moments during the season as a whole? And that can be off the court, on the court, anything at all, really.
I would say my most favorite moment of the entire season was we actually did the Hot Shots hike as a team. And we watched the movie the day before to kind of give the guys a perspective of what we were dealing with. And then, we took the day trek over to Yarnell and spent 4 hours hiking through the mountains of Yarnell. And it was emotional, and it was a really good learning experience. Got to talk about teamwork and all that stuff. And I would say that's probably far and beyond the best part of the season, regardless of the wins and losses and stuff. It was just, that meant something.
Is that something that the team is going to do kind of as a yearly thing going forward?
You know, we kind of do it organically. It depends on the year and it depends on the kids. And this is a year that we really felt like it was something they would appreciate and they would be capable to do. And it, as a group, it really kind of tied everything together. It was kind of the bridge between the regular season and the playoffs was when we did it. So it just happened to be this group. I'm not sure if we'll do it again in the future with another group. It's hard to say.
So with the players that are expected to return and the experience that was gained this season, what are you looking forward to next season?
We're going to have a lot of experience. I mean, we're going to return, a two-time first team all conference player of the year. We're going to return, our 6'10 post kid. We're going to return another starter. We had two other sophomores that were on the varsity team. Junior Andrew Lyon is going to be coming back. And so we're going to have a lot of experience coming back. And then we have a few sophomores that are going to come up and fill those gaps of the seniors that are leaving. So it, the future looks bright at this point. So.
All right. Well, Coach, thanks for joining the show all season long and look forward to talking to you again as the season nears next winter.
Of course, yeah, anytime.
Thank you. Some key leaders of the team were sophomore Uriah Tenet, who emerged as one of the best players in the state by averaging 23.3 points per game, and fellow sophomore Zane Gall, who averaged 13.8 points per game and led the team averaging 9 rebounds. Senior Jake Hilton also averaged 11.2 points per game. Winter sports are now wrapped, and spring sports are well underway, including Bradshaw Mountain Baseball, who got the Mercy Rule 10-0 victory over St. Mary's at home on Saturday afternoon. Bradshaw Mountain scored in 5 of the 6 innings. Seniors Anthony Morales and Dalton Irwin each had a pair of RBIs, with Irwin's coming on a 2-run blast in the 3rd inning to give the Bears a 3-0 lead. Senior Andon Shefford added a home run to left field in the 5th inning to extend Bradshaw Mountain's lead to 7 runs. Here's what he had to say about the home run.
I don't normally hit home runs, so I just kind of hit the ball and it just went there.
In total, 8 Bradshaw Mountain players recorded a hit and 6 players had at least 1 RBI in the win. Here's Irwin on the team's next man up mentality.
We saw a pitch we liked and, we delivered, got on and did our job. Have a lot of selfless baseball players here who play as a team, not as one, so just looking to get wins every day.
Head coach Brian Bundrick echoes Irwin.
Yeah, these kids, you don't have to push these kids too much. It's very rare that you get to coach a team where, you can ask a kid, hey, can I hit for you? And it's all smiles and, yeah, give Annan that bat or give Nate that bat. These kids are selfless and they care for one another. It's the tightest group I've ever coached. All the way from the sophomore to the 10 seniors. They're great kids and I suspect they're going to keep grinding and keep winning games.
The run support was more than enough for pitcher Josh Cazal, who tossed 6 complete innings, only allowing 2 hits while striking out 9. The senior got the job done on an economical 62 pitches.
Coming out, throwing a lot of fastballs for strikes, trying to get ahead of hitters. It's working out later in the game. But just coming out, pounding the zone, keeping the defense in the ballgame. It's working.
Including tournaments, the Bradshaw Mountain Bears' overall record moves to 9-3 with the win. And the team has won 5 of their last 6 ball games.
We're hitting well right now. We started off a little slow this year, and then we're a little, hit and miss just because I think mainly because of the weather, right? We're behind on some practices, but I think we're just going to – I feel like we're just going to keep getting better every day, and the kids have a good understanding of what they're going to do and approach the plate, and we should be fine.
The Bears play their first region games of the season on Saturday at home as they have a doubleheader against Lee Williams. First pitch of the first game is 2 p.m. It's now time to whip around Central Arizona sports teams and get you caught up on previous results and what's to come this week. Keeping it on the baseball diamond, the Prescott High School baseball team fell to Paradise Honors 9-7 on Monday. Adrian Sanderford went 2-for-4 with a home run and two RBIs in the loss. At 1-3 overall, they are back on the field on Tuesday at home against Coconino at 3 p.m. They travel to play Coconino again on Thursday at 4 p.m. The Badgers softball team also had a tough day Monday, losing to Arcadia at home 12-11 in 11 innings. The loss drops the team to 1-4 overall. Next up is a road game against Coconino on Tuesday and a home game against Coconino on Thursday. Both start at 4 p.m. The Badgers boys tennis team went with a perfect 4-0 record to begin the season is back from break Thursday as they play on the road against rival Bradshaw Mountain at 3:30 p.m. The girls tennis team also returns from break this week as they take on rival Bradshaw Mountain at home at 3:30 p.m. on Thursday. The team is 3-1 on the young season. The 2-0 boys volleyball team has a couple of road matches this week, Tuesday against Northwest Christian and Thursday against Deer Valley, before playing at home on Friday against St. Mary's at 5:30 p.m. Over to Bradshaw Mountain, as the softball team fell to Greenway 4-0 on the road Monday to drop to 1-2 overall. They are back on the field Tuesday for a game at home against Lee Williams at 3:45 p.m., before traveling to play Lee Williams on Thursday again at 3:45 p.m. They then play St. Mary's at home Friday at 3:45 p.m. The boys tennis team, after a 5-4 loss to Raymond S. Kellis, plays Lee Williams at home Tuesday at 3:30 p.m. before hosting rival Prescott on Thursday at 3:30 p.m. They then have a road game against the Tempe Buffaloes on Friday at, you guessed it, 3:30 p.m. The team is 3-1 so far on the season. The girls' tennis team also had trouble against Raymond S. Kellis in an 8-1 loss last week. They have road games this week against Lee Williams on Tuesday and Prescott on Thursday. Both start at 3:30 p.m. The team is 3-2 so far on the season. The Bradshaw Mountain girls and boys track and field teams will compete in the Red Mountain Rampage on Friday. The boys volleyball team is looking for their first win of the season after starting off 0-4 as they host Estrella Foothills on Thursday and Odyssey Institute on Friday. Both start at 5:30 p.m. On to Chino Valley, as the baseball team fell to Fountain Hills 4-3 on Monday and dropped to 1-3 overall on the season. They have a chance to get back on track Tuesday as they play Tonopah Valley on the road at 3:30 p.m. The team then has road games against Parker on Thursday and Sholo on Saturday. The softball team is a perfect 3-0 to begin the season, blasting Fountain Hills on the road 26-6 on Monday. Five players had at least three RBIs in the win. Next up is a road game against Borgade Catholic on Tuesday before hosting the same team on Friday at 3:45 p.m. The team then has a road game against Sholo on Saturday. Over to collegiate sports now, starting with Embry-Riddle, as the baseball team lost to Arizona Christian on the road Monday 8-1. The loss drops the team to 7-14 overall and 3-3 in the conference as they get ready for games over the weekend on the road against Providence Christian. The softball team is on fire, having won four straight. The team swept a doubleheader against Simpson on Saturday. Autumn Solsey was a big part of the win in Game 2, going 3-for-4 and driving in three runs. At 14-9 overall, the team plays doubleheaders on Sunday and Monday at home against La Sierra. The first game on Sunday begins at noon, while the first game on Monday begins at 3 p.m. The boys and girls golf teams are currently competing in the Prim Battle before hosting the ERAU Spring Invite over the weekend. The Yavapai College Rough Riders softball team's doubleheader against Gateway on Tuesday has been postponed. They next play Saturday at home in a doubleheader against Pima. It's been a rough season for Yavapai College with a 1-20 overall record. The baseball team went 1-1 in a doubleheader against Langley Blaze in Prescott Valley on Friday, winning the first game 12-5, but dropping game 2 5-3. In the game one win, shortstop Mitch Wood went 3-for-4 and drove in three runs. At 12-11 overall and 7-7 in the conference. Next up are road doubleheaders against Paradise Valley on Thursday and Mesa on Saturday. And finally, Indoor Football League action returns to Prescott Valley this weekend as the defending champion NAZ Wranglers begin the season by hosting the Duke City Gladiators on Saturday at 6:05 p.m. at the Finley Toyota Center. As I do every week, I'll end the show by giving my thoughts on some state sports. Baseball season is right around the corner, and we've had an excellent appetizer over the past few weeks as the World Baseball Classic has overexceeded expectations and has, in my opinion, became one of the most unique sporting events to see. And Chase Field in Phoenix played a big part of that, hosting Team USA, Mexico, Great Britain, Colombia, and Canada in Pool C. Having attended all the night games, I can personally say the passion displayed in the tournament by fans and players is unmatched by anything else in the sport. And to finish the show on Tuesday night, Arizona Diamondbacks pitcher Merrill Kelly takes the mound for Team USA as they look to repeat as champions, taking on Team Japan, who beat Mexico in an ultimate classic on Monday night. Merrill Kelly is all AZ, as he went to Desert Mountain High School in Scottsdale and played 2 years of baseball right here in Central Arizona for Yavapai College before going on to ASU. Between March Madness and the World Baseball Classic, we've had some great sports to watch this month. I'm Torrance Dunham, and this has been Talkin' Central Arizona Sports, part of Talking Glass Media's Cast 11 Podcast Network. Have a great week, and we'll see you back here next Tuesday.